Well, by a show of hands, how many of you out there have, as a part of your Christmas decorations and displays, a nativity scene? Anyone have multiple nativity scenes? Anyone have one that is particularly special to them? One of my most prized possessions is a nativity scene that I got last year in the Holy Land that is carved from a single piece of olive wood, and it is the first decoration that I put out every year, and it's my most proud. I have a special place for it, and it's sort of my decoration, and then Amy kind of decides where everything else goes. But it's interesting to think about nativities because, you know, who are the characters that are showing up at this scene? Now, if you see from here, this picture has kind of an interesting cast of characters. You have Mary and Joseph taking a selfie with the baby Jesus, and the shepherd looks more like an organic farmer, I think. And then the wise men are hipster, Segway-driving, cool guys with... Oh, I notice one of them has got a bow tie. Not saying anything about bow ties, but... And their gifts they bring with Amazon boxes. So that's, I guess, one way of looking at a nativity. Another picture, I was going through some of my photos, and I was looking for a nativity. This was a photo that one of my friends, Marilyn, posted on her Facebook, on her social media. It is with her cat, Cleo, joining the congregation, the group at the birth of Jesus. I'm not sure if that wise man over on the right is either bowing down or has been recently slain by the cat. And then this final one, this was taken on my son Christian's dresser about 5 years ago. And do you notice any interesting characters who are present at the birth of baby Jesus? We've got Thomas the Train there on the right, and Bert and Ernie are there. I say this in jest, and it's kind of silly and lighthearted, but it brings up an interesting question. Who are those who seek? What kinds of people, what kinds of characters are seekers? That first Christmas morning when the shepherds and the angels and the wise men all came to give their praises, each one of them, in one way or another, was someone who is seeking. Is there anyone here who feels like they have been in a time in their life where they have diligently, intently, maybe even agonizingly sought God? This morning I want to look at a passage from Scripture from Matthew chapter 2 in which we meet a few men who come from the east who are seeking. And what I want us to look at today is, who were these men? What was that star that they were following, and what was it that they were bringing? What was it that it meant? What did it mean for them to be people who seek God? So if you would turn with me in a Bible that you brought, or maybe the Bible that you keep in your pocket, like this, you can turn on your copy of Scripture, or you can turn to the screens. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And when I'm done, I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, so that if you believe it, you can respond by saying, thanks be to God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring him to me, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Amen. What does it mean to seek? What does it mean, maybe for you, to be somebody who seeks, someone who searches, someone who looks for God? And where is it that you are able to find God? Where have you found God? Who were these wise men? I want to start by looking at verse number one. Who were these wise men? It says that they, in verse one, that they came from the east. We know from tradition, from history, that these wise men came from the parts of the east that were ancient Persia and even as far as Babylon. They were men that came from the east and were stargazers. They were men who looked for their answers. They looked for wisdom. They looked for meaning and signs in the celestial bodies, in the heavens. Now, in their day, and in the life of Jews, stargazers, astronomers, astrologers, were considered unclean. They were kind of a seedy bunch. And so this group of men that come to give their gifts were an unlikely invitee, were an unlikely guest at the manger. Now, they were astronomers in one sense, in that they studied the patterns and the movements of the celestial beings, the stars, and they understood how the courses of stars moved, and they were at the same time astrologers, in that they looked for meaning, they searched for answers in the heavens. Now, in their day, there wasn't the difference. You know, in our day, astronomy is a legitimate science, right? We think of astronomy as something that people who look through the Hubble telescope or spend time researching stars and outer lying galaxies. Astrology, on the other hand, is kind of reserved for the back page of the newspaper. It's not really given a lot of reputation, you know, looking for meaning in astrological signs. But these men, the point is that they looked to the heavens because they were seeking. Now, they may not have fully known what it was they were seeking, but they were seeking. And then in verse 2, they say, "For we saw his star when it arose, and we came to worship him." So what is this star? What was this star that arose that they followed? There's a couple theories that I've heard about what the star is. The first theory was that the star could have been a supernova. You know, once a year, every couple of years, a star will run out of energy and it will explode, and it will be a great and brilliant event where you can see, even in the daytime in some cases, you can see the supernova explode. And it could have been a star exploding. Some have also said that it was perhaps Halley's Comet. I think it was 1982 or 1984, the last time Halley's Comet passed by. Now, does anyone know how often Halley's Comet passes? Every 76, 77 years, something like that. Now, the problem with this theory is that Halley's Comet, you know, if you do the math back to the day when Jesus, or to the time around when Jesus was born, so the math doesn't compute. So it's probably not Halley's Comet that they followed. But I was reading this week about an interesting phenomenon that happens once every 805 years. The two most brilliant bodies in our solar system that we can see in the night sky, Jupiter and Saturn. And every so often in their kind of rotation of the sun, Jupiter every 15 years, Saturn every 30 years, somewhere about there, they will overlap. And in our line of sight, it will appear that there is a larger, more brilliant body of light in the nighttime sky. Now, even more rare is something that a man by the name of Johannes Kepler, anyone heard of that name before? Johannes Kepler, famous physicist, scientist, discovered in 1604. That every 805 years, not only Jupiter and Saturn, but Mars overlap with one another, and they are in a direct line of sight of the human eye, of Earth. And so every 805 years, there appears in the night sky to be this blindingly brilliant, I mean, it is next to the moon, it is the brightest thing in the night sky. Now, somebody do some math for me. I know it's I don't ask you to do math very often, but subtract from 1604, 805 twice. Do you come up with about 6 BC? Now, when the Romans changed the calendar, they got the birth of Jesus wrong. Jesus wasn't actually born on 0 AD or 0 BC. Jesus was actually, when they scholars have calculated, he was actually born 6 BC. So there's a strong possibility, in fact, there's a great possibility, that what the wise men saw as they sought in the night sky was this brilliant, blindingly bright convergence of these three planets that was in the night sky for 3 months. Perhaps that's what brought them to Bethlehem. But it's not only that which brought them to Bethlehem. You see, they were men, they were people who sought after meaning. They sought for God. It's just that they didn't know who they were searching for. It says in verse 10, that when the wise men saw the star, it brought them to Jerusalem. It says that they came to Jerusalem first. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they came to the place where the chief priests and the scribes and Herod were gathered. Perhaps, maybe it was the temple. And behold, the star. And they came to the place. I'm going ahead here a little bit. I've skipped ahead a bit. Let me go back. They arrived with Herod and the chief priests and the scribes, and they inquired where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, there is there is a difference between what's called general revelation. What they were looking for was God to reveal God's self, to reveal himself to them in some way, and would point them to the meaning that they were searching for. Now, this is, we call this general revelation or natural theology, where we can look to the sky, we can look to the trees and to the birds and the skies and the seas, and we can see evidence. We can see the evidence of God's handiwork. But does that reveal to us the particulars of who God is? Does it tell us anything more than just the grandeur and the beauty and the intricacy of who God is, this sort of natural revelation? No. And do you notice that when the wise men arrived, they arrived first in Jerusalem. They were brought by the star to Jerusalem. And the place that they came first was to the temple, perhaps. They came to church. They came to the place where theology and scripture and these things were being taught. But do you notice that it was even the scribes and the Pharisees, these men who are religious and keep the law and are devout, they didn't find the particulars of who God was even in the temple. And so what does that mean for us? That it's not the church that is the place. It's not the buildings or the doctrines or the traditions where we find the specifics, where we find the particulars of who it is we worship. But it wasn't until they were told, they were read the scriptures, they were read from the prophet Micah, Bethlehem, that they went and they followed the star to the place where it stopped over the manger. You see, revelation, or God making himself known to us, doesn't happen until we actually come into contact with the child, with the person, with the spirit of the living God in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the full expression. Jesus is the full embodiment of God's revelation. That's where we meet, and that's where the wise men came and found the thing that they had searched and searched and searched for. It was in the Christ. And it says, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it would arose, and they went before, and it went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Now, this is kind of a cumbersome Greek phrase. This, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's like, how much joy can you squeeze into one little phrase? But the point of it is that when in their seeking, when they finally found the thing that their hearts had searched for so long, the thing that came to them was joy, was immense, overwhelming joy, a sense that this is the thing for which my heart has beat for years, for my entire life. I have finally found. There's a verse from Matthew 7 and 8. "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open." I wonder if there's been a time in your life when you have sought diligently like these wise men. I wonder if there's a time in your life when you have found yourself moving in your life, looking to the sky, looking to your surroundings, looking for meaning and searching. When I was in college, I know for some of you this won't be the first time you've heard this story, but when I was in college, I searched for meaning and relationships and friendships in a group of people who were teammates of mine, in a group of people who, unfortunately, it wasn't apparent to me at the time, but really didn't take much of an interest in me. Whether I was present or whether I was not, didn't bear much to them. And yet, the more I sought their approval, the more I sought their affirmation and their friendship, it seemed like the further it got. And it culminated in an evening when I was a sophomore in college, and it was a Friday night, and the team had gone bowling, apparently, because they didn't tell me. And there, this was before the ages of cell phones and text messages and social media. And when I finally found out that this had happened and I was alone, it was a very startling feeling to me. You know, growing up in a family where there was lots of love and affirmation and encouragement and good friends and good community as a part of my church, this was a moment in my life where I was felt genuinely alone. And I had been following God. I had been, you know, from a young age, I had been in Sunday school and in youth group, and God was a part of my life. But at this point, I felt like I had wandered in the opposite direction. I was very far from God. And so in that moment, I am sitting in my dorm room in front of my computer, realizing just how alone I felt in the world. And you know, in that moment, I cried out to God. I said, I asked for a sign. Give me something that will tell me that you're still a part of my life, that I'm still a part of your life, that I'm at least somewhere near the path where you have for me. I was seeking. I was searching. I was looking for that place, that direction that would bring me to the place where I would find the Savior, where I would find meaning and purpose. And amazingly, miraculously, this doesn't happen to me very often. It would maybe a few times in my whole life. In that very moment, you know, like, you remember AOL used to, whenever you'd get an email, what did it say? Thank you. I didn't want to say it. Email pops up, and it was a guy that I had been in a Bible study with briefly my first year, and they had continued to meet, and they had continued to develop this group, and I was not a part of it, or I kind of drifted away from it. In that moment, he sent me an email saying, "Hey, we're meeting Tuesday. Why don't you come? We've missed having you." And it was as if, like, in that moment where I felt utterly alone in the world, or and in my searching, God made himself known. And through them, I became immersed in a network and a group of friends that to this day, we keep in touch with each other every week, and we are accountable to each other, and we are encouraged by each other, and our faith is grown through being together with each other. It was still to this day, it is one of the most life-changing moments I have ever experienced. And it came from a search. Not just searching for the heavens, for some sort of vague meaning, but searching for God's purpose. Searching for God's place in my life. For everyone who seeks, finds. And those who knock, the door will be open to you. And I can tell you that the end of that search, the end of that journey, was exceedingly great joy. Now, like the wise men, when our search brings us to the place where Jesus is, like the wise men, we bring our gifts, we bring ourselves, we bring our expressions of that great joy. And for the wise men, it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And now gold is brought because gold was the gift that was due a king. It was one of the most common expressions of great joy and great value and great stability and strength, and it was the gift fit for a king. Frankincense is an herb. It's an incense that was burned. And there's a verse back in Exodus where Aaron is given a very special recipe for a type of incense that would be burned one day a year, and that was on the Holy of Holies. The Day of Atonement, where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of Israel once a year. And once and only that fragrance would be burned. And as that fragrance wafted out into the temple, into the courtyards, into the noses and into the minds of the people, what they would think of and what they would associate with that would be, God is present. This is the smell. This is the presence of God that is descending upon us. And finally, myrrh. Myrrh was used for embalming. It was used to prepare a body for burial. And this would be a reminder or a foreshadowing of the gift that Jesus would give to the people, to all of humanity, of himself on the cross for our sins. Friends, if you are searching, if you are in a place of seeking, continue to come. Continue to look ahead, look up, because God is always wanting to make himself known to us, always inviting us to bring our gifts, to bring our worship, to bring our hearts.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.